Well, it ain't what you know that gets you in trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so. Mark Twain said that. So good day, fellow hoteliers, and welcome to episode 253 of the Hotel Marketing Podcast. You may not have known, but apparently Mark Twain is a bit of a hotel marketing guru. And with that famous saying, that really rings true. So today on the show, we're going to be pulling back the curtain and highlighting some of the top hotel marketing myths that may or may not be true. But we're going to find out in just 1 second. All right. So everybody who's listening, that wasn't incredibly loud. But for the people recording, that was an atrociously loud intro, but it was fixed in post-editing, so...
I'm not going to lie, it's always atrociously loud. I have to, like, cover my ears for it.
So I could tell by your face immediately, you had this look of disgust.
They always have a look of disgust. That's why I don't turn my camera on for client calls.
Yeah. So true. So hey, this is a pretty cool episode, Alyssa. This one's all you. You put together a bunch of cool little facts and myths, and we're going to, I guess, decipher which ones are real and which ones aren't, right?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Well, cool. So before we do that, I thought it would be a good idea to talk about a couple myths. If we want to go around the table, I want everybody to share a myth that they believe to be true. I can start if you want.
Okay.
I think aliens are absolutely real.
That's not a myth. It's proven.
No doubt about that. I don't know if it's proven. It's still up in the air. I don't know if they're necessarily from outer space. I think they might be interdimensional.
Interdimensional? But
I don't have
all those. I think you're wrong. And
Is this myth hour or conspiracy hour?
Oh, yeah. True.
Because I was going to say, you know, Area 51.
That's the thing. That's a real place.
I know. Is there really aliens there?
I think they live inside the Earth.
There are otherworldly crafts. They might be from interdimensional. All right. So Christy, yours is Area 51?
Well, yeah. I also believe in ghosts. A lot of people don't.
Okay.
So, you know.
Ghosts are a good one.
I mean, if we're staying on trend, the chupacabra is real too.
You said chupacabra?
The chupacabra. You don't know.
Oh, yeah. Random.
Is that like just the hairless Mexican dog thing?
Yeah.
Is that about the Star Wars character?
I thought it was like Bigfoot.
No, I have one.
I think Jeremy was right. What did you say, Jeremy?
That's Chewbacca, Jeremy. Yeah. Sorry that Stuart's no longer on the podcast.
Star Wars is dead to us.
Yeah.
All right. So I said aliens. Christy said ghosts. Alyssa said Mexican hairless dogs.
I changed my answer. I think that groundhogs can truly predict the future.
I like that. They're interdimensional beings.
Yeah. I have a thing for groundhogs. They like follow me around in my life. And we have a few that live across the street from our house in a retention area. And I came face to face with it a couple months ago. I thought it would run away, but it didn't. So I let the dog go toward it to sniff. It was wearing flip-flops, and it was a whole ordeal. Anyone with a Ring camera, send me the footage.
We'll subscribe to your Ring camera. All right, Jeremy, what is your myth?
My God.
We stole yours?
I was good. Yeah, you stole mine. I was going to go chupacabra.
Damn it, Jeremy.
You got to choose anything else.
I have to choose something else.
You have to choose a myth.
Oh my gosh.
It could be that Taylor Swift is
what about artist. Or the abominable snowman.
But I don't think it's real.
I don't think he's real either.
Is abominable snowman? That's just Bigfoot in another area.
No, it's not. Yeti and Bigfoot.
I'm a realist. I don't believe in any of this.
What about like the moon landing? Was that fake?
No. I know Jeremy's. It's basketball is a good sport. It's a myth.
What do you mean by good? Define
entertaining.
Good. I think it's entertaining.
It's a myth.
I also think that's a myth.
All right.
Yeah, you have to find somebody who enjoys it.
Yeah. What's our news item, Pete?
All right, so we have some news items. Okay, so here we go. Hopefully this one won't be quite as loud. All right, this is breaking news from Travel Pulse. Came out just about a month ago. I guess it's not that breaking. But it talks about how Hilton is expanding the on-property mobile messaging platform. So if anybody's stayed at a Hilton property of any kind, they have a kick butt app. It is so easy to remote check-in, to get your key, to go right to your room, open it up and everything like that. I think they're already kind of leading the way in terms of that mobile experience. They're making it a little bit better this year by adding real-time messaging into that app, which is pretty cool. So it'll work through either the actual Hilton Honors app, regular text messaging, or WhatsApp. And basically what it'll allow you to do is have real-time chats with the hotel staff. So you need a new pillow, you can just text them, I need a new pillow, and then immediately they'll respond, great, we'll have someone bring it up to you, whatever it might be. So I thought that was pretty cool. So they're rolling that out in 2024 for pretty much all their properties. I think that's going to be a great benefit to a hotel guest for Hilton. But I also think it's something that's going to be really important for independent hoteliers to pay attention to, because flag properties are building quite the tech stack in terms of mobile apps and ways guests can interface with staff. So, you know, as an independent hotelier or a group of hotels who may not have a good mobile platform yet, I think it's something to really think about. Last couple of years have been ideal times to kind of start investing in understanding what people can be doing from a mobile perspective. And I think everybody needs to probably jump on the ship at this point.
Yeah. Why isn't this a thing yet? I feel like it's just behind the times, even for these large hotel brands. We've had cell phones for a long time now. They've come such a long way. Why isn't this already popular?
The only thing I can think of is, so if I have your number, I can text you and you can see it and text right back. That's pretty easy. But doing that at an enterprise level with a front desk where you don't necessarily know who has the phone and whatnot, I'm sure it takes some time to, you know, put that system in place where it actually can be done in app and make sure that people are actually responding to
it. Yeah, but you can also text from a computer. I feel like it's also a little, I don't know, old school to have a phone in hand, to assume someone at the front desk has a phone in hand, right?
Mm-hmm. I text more from my computer than I do from my phone.
I don't do that because it's against company policy.
It is? I don't know that's true.
So hopefully
I think that's the myth.
Hotel marketing podcast.
I think that's the myth, is that you understand our company policies.
Well, married to an ex-employee, so.
Yeah. I don't. I have my phone hooked up to my MacBook.
Did you clarify whether it was a real person or an automated system?
It's a real person.
Okay.
It is direct two-way communications between you and the staff.
Because I also feel like an automated system would be fine if it were for something like Mortals that just sets up a flag in the system that goes to that particular department, and then, you know, mm-hmm. housekeeping, hey, you have a message, room 200 and whatever needs a few new towels or pillows. Would be,
I would imagine, because AI is everything, that they probably have, you know, some chatbot behind the scene that if it's, you know, says me Mortals room 204, it just says, okay, we'll send them up to you.
Yeah. I really thought we could make it one episode without saying AI.
Oh, I'm going to guarantee you we're not going to do that. But yeah, so that's a news item. Nothing too big and crazy, but I thought it is really important for people to remember. Think about your mobile app experience and how you can help your guest have a better, more enjoyable experience that's on their terms for communication. So Alyssa, now on to the big show. This is the Alyssa episode, and you wrote an article called Top Hotel Marketing Myths Debunked. Do you want to kind of walk us through what we're going to be talking about?
Yeah, this was a fun one. So over the course of my career, which is probably longer than I'd like to admit at this point, I've heard a lot of misconceptions around digital marketing that just simply aren't true. And we probably all hear some of these on a regular basis with client communication. So I thought it would be fun to play fact or fiction on the industry's top hotel marketing myths. Really, we just want to help hoteliers understand the truth about what works and break down the barriers that might be holding you back from your full potential. So with that, we put together a list of the top 17 hotel marketing myths. And if you've come up with any more, feel free to send them to us via our contact form or social media. Today, we're going to cover 10 of them. And if you want the entire list, just head over to our blog, travelboommarketing.com/blog, and check out the full article. So yeah, we're going to kick it off and hand the first one back to you, Pete. We haven't heard your voice enough.
Hey, so wait, are you supposed to read?
I'm going to tell you, and you're going to tell me whether it's fact or fiction, or myth or fact, whatever you want to say, but we want to know.
Myth or fiction.
Okay. Anyone can do it is number one.
That's like, so you gave me a trick one. I think it's both. I think it's both a fact that, yes, anybody can do this, but it's also a little bit of a myth that anybody can do it right. You know, the way I see it is it's not necessarily rocket science. A lot of the things that we do are very formulaic in terms of the fundamentals that go into it. But the question becomes is, can you do the fundamentals perfectly every single time? And that's where you need somebody who's a professional to really get in there and get it done. If it's from SEO, if it's social media, yes, anybody can do it, but you won't necessarily be able to master the nuances of each channel as an expert would. I think the other way to kind of look at that is, you know, even in our case, Alyssa is not necessarily a social media expert. We have someone on our team who is a social media expert. That person is not necessarily a paid search or social expert or developer. So you do need to have people who have those individual skill sets in each of their individual disciplines, because one person can't do everything. If you try that, I think you'll do everything mediocre. That's why you kind of really need to rely on a team to really kind of do the kick butt job that you need for any type of property.
Yeah, I think that you bring up a good point. And I agree with your answer. Even as a group of marketing experts, you know, like you said, I'm not an expert in social media. And I'm, you know, in the weeds to some degree with social media, PPC, SEO, design development every day. For a number of years, I'm not going to admit. Pete's been in the industry for like 50 years, and he's still not an expert in some of these fields. So.
Mark Twain told me that quote to in person.
Yeah, but it's tough, but also sometimes, you know, the misconception is that it is easy, and sometimes it can seem easy, but if you don't know what you're doing on the back end and you're not monitoring your results appropriately, it's just not going to benefit you in the end.
Well, and Jeremy, you can probably join in on this one too. Like, how many times have we taken over a client's self-run PPC campaign and we ask them about negative keywording and then they just, you know, stare at us?
Yeah, it happens a lot. I agree that, you know, there's pieces of digital marketing like SEO or PPC, and they all kind of intertwine in a way. And that's where that expertise, where you can, where we have the ability to play off of each other, where somebody is an expert at analytics and somebody else is an expert at SEO. And how do we combine those two things? And how do we use the data that we have through analytics and through what we're doing through SEO, and how can we make it even better? And that's one of the ways that having a team really works, and you know, having that expertise on different levels or through other team members is going to be super helpful and make things easier for you know, if you can master one thing and have somebody else master another thing, and it's not that you can't, you know, be a jack of all trades and, you know, be really good at all things, but, you know, there's definitely that being able to play off of others at what they're really good at, and coming to clients with solutions, or coming to, you know, whoever you need to go to with a solution or with an idea.
Yeah. And even if you can do it and you're doing it pretty well, things are constantly changing. So if it's not your career, you're not going to have the time to stay abreast of all of the most recent information. So yeah, good answer. Both. The next one, we're going to hand it off to Christy. Christy's our newest team member. I think that we did introduce her on the last podcast, but if you want to say hello, Christy.
Hi.
This one is for you. Myth or fact?
All right.
You need a huge budget.
I'm going to say myth. I think you definitely need to spend money to make money. Investing in your market is definitely going to increase your chances of success. And having a large budget presents less challenges. It's going to make things easier on you. But effective marketing doesn't require a huge budget. There are a few things that you can do that'll yield significant returns on a small budget. You could allocate your resources based on data, narrowly target campaigns, and be creative. You can also explore some less expensive avenues like social media or email marketing. That's going to get you the most bang for your buck. Hire a knowledgeable intern at a lesser rate. I've done that in other areas and at other jobs, and that's always been really beneficial. And we have a free guide to creating the perfect hotel budget that we can link in the episode notes, right, guys?
I think we do. Yeah, we'll link that up in there. And we also had an episode way back, episode 58, where we talked about marketing on a shoestring budget.
Yeah, those are all great. And I know, like you mentioned, hiring an intern, sometimes that can be a little bit more cumbersome for people, but it can pay off in the long run. You can get unpaid interns, which obviously a paid intern may, you know, provide a higher quality candidate. But unpaid or paid, they can do work for you, maybe a marketing intern or a writer that can offer some of their expertise that you don't necessarily have time for. Or if you're a little bit older and you just want someone younger that is staying on top of trends, that would be helpful. But also, and Jeremy can speak a little bit more to this, narrowly targeting your campaigns to avoid overspending, spending on people that may not necessarily, you know, even be interested in booking at your hotel or your destination as a whole. And it's nothing that you did, but
yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you know, when you're starting out, so if we're using like paid search or PPC as an example, it's, you know, starting out with any budget and seeing where that gets you. And then, you know, maybe after some time, after you've run your campaigns to see how successful they are, if you have room to grow your budget, then obviously if you have the budget to add to your campaigns that are doing well, then yeah, go ahead and add that budget. But if you are just throwing money out the window at, you know, and just to see what sticks, you know, sometimes I guess that can be useful. I mean, if you're looking to just spend on all different avenues or platforms within like Google Ads or email or Facebook or whatever, just to see what works and what doesn't. Obviously, when you're doing that, you want to be targeting correctly and making sure that all your targeting is the way it needs to be. But I mean, if you're going to spend that much money, then yeah, I mean, you could probably see quicker results potentially, which we'll actually be getting to soon as far as whether it's a myth or not. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of just being smarter with your budget, I guess. You know, you can always, if you have room to grow it, you can always, if you have the budget available, you know, I would just, it's better to stick with, you know, to see what's working. And then if you can continue to allocate resources to that specific campaign, then go ahead and do it.
I'd throw out there, make sure you're also, so you do have to spend going back to the first one about anyone can do it and you don't need a huge budget, you need to make sure your analytics are working correctly and you've done that testing. Even if you need to have someone actually pay someone to do it, you can't make decisions about a huge budget or you can't allocate a shoestring budget unless you know how it's performing. So do that first, and then you can make a small budget go a really freaking long way if you're monitoring the performance and you can really accurately say this is working or not working.
Yes, but then this goes back to number one, where we said not everyone can do it. You might have a small budget, but then you may consider, finding the right agency and paying them, which is obviously going to come out of your budget. But if you compare that to the cost of an OTA commission, weighing your options there, which one is going to benefit you in the long run and what is a short-term gain?
So true.
Yeah. All right. With that, let's keep it with you, Jeremy. Number three, results are immediate. I think that Jeremy's going to like this one.
Yeah, I'm going to say that is both a myth and a fact. So like we were kind of just discussing with paid marketing avenues, there's a handful of tactics in digital marketing that can generate a quick return on investment. And these are kind of what I would consider to be the race as compared to the marathon, which I think when I say that, I mean, the marathon is kind of like your whole digital marketing plan. But these avenues of digital marketing are going to get you results quicker generally. And that's like paid search, like meta search, paid social, probably email marketing. You're going to see quicker results based on the KPIs that you're following or you're tracking. But then there's also like the marathons, which are like SEO and content marketing and organic social, where the long game is building trust, nurturing leads, and fine-tuning strategies based on data and feedback. So digital marketing does require persistence and patience if you want to achieve that long-term payoff.
Yeah, I agree.
I think this one's pretty important to keep in mind. It's funny how you probably did this on purpose, Alyssa, but they all kind of tie into each other. Those results that you're measuring, understand, even if you have a small budget and you're saying, okay, I need to put some money into, say, SEO, the value is going to be there, but you want to make sure you're not measuring it on month one and looking at it. It's more aggregate, over and over and over, you start seeing improvements.
Yeah, I think finding a good balance between long and short-term success is obviously the goal of every marketer and hotelier. We can lump those two together. But I think so often we get clients that don't necessarily understand that concept and say, what can you do for me that's going to make me money fast? I need immediate results. I have a soft spot, whether it's this weekend, this summer, this year. Whatever it is, and we try and explain the concepts, but they don't always stick. So,
hey, shameless plug on that. If you do have that problem, check us out in a couple weeks. We have a webinar about how you can drive bookings right away. Or no, we don't.
The webinar is increasing your hotel revenue right now.
Okay, increasing your hotel revenue right now. Okay, so I was close enough.
Bookings. There are a few concepts and strategies in that webinar that do help drive immediate bookings. So I guess you're half right, Pete. All right.
That's better than I usually am, so I'll take it.
Pete's hanging out around a 45%.
That's pretty good. Just kidding. Most people would appreciate that.
Sorry, guys. I'm feeling mean today. Jeremy, Pete, Christy, you're next.
I'm not ready for that.
All right, we're going to give you the next one.
You have to be nice to me.
We'll give it to you. People don't read reviews.
Oh, man. That's definitely a myth. I always read the reviews. So the reviews dominate the decision-making process. For travelers, definitely, but I would say for just everyone in all aspects of life. We can look at the 2023 travel boom leisure travel trends study, and it tells us that 81% of respondents would not book a stay without first reading reviews online. And that's definitely the truth. I mean, I read the reviews every time I stay anywhere. I look at all the photos. Positive reviews are going to build trust, and negative reviews are going to deter your potential customers. Managing your hotel's online reputation is a pivotal part in digital marketing strategy. And responding to reviews, good or bad, can be the deciding factor for consumers' purchase behavior.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good point, Christy, is that a negative review, I think we've probably said this on the podcast before, is a negative review from a guest is not necessarily going to be negative to other guests. It gives you the opportunity to show that you are a phenomenal hotelier and you're addressing guest concerns. Now, if it is, you know, the place is, you know, riddled with bed bugs and roaches and whatnot, you're going to have to do some real, you know, PR to get that cleaned up, and you actually need to improve your property if that's the case. But if it's something where, you know, somebody said there was a minor problem, that there was no breakfast when they went downstairs, you can make it, you can jump in there, say, hey, we appreciate that. We're so sorry that it happened. You know, please let us know next time you're in town. We'll make sure that you have breakfast. If not, we'll comp you a free meal at a nearby breakfast spot or something like that to make sure that you're happy. But it gives you a chance to say, hey, here's a negative issue. We're going to turn around and make it a positive, almost to the point where if you were a guest, you would almost want to have a little bit of a negative experience because of the amazing way that the guest, the property handles your concerns. But you're right. They're going to read the reviews, and they're not going to book at your property unless they have reviews to read.
Yeah. And I'm so curious, like, polling you guys here on this podcast, do you read the positive reviews?
I skim them.
I do too.
I really focus on the negative reviews, and my husband kind of pulled me out of that rabbit hole because something will have like 4.5 stars and he's like, it has a great rating. Like, you're only focusing on the negative reviews. Let's read some of the positive reviews. So I have started to read positive reviews, which, you know, has just changed my outlook a little bit on reviews in general. But I would say, to me, like, I agree with you, Christy. Reviews are just my deciding factor on everything, like products, restaurants, hotels, whatever it might be. And the response to a negative review is way more important to me than what the negative review says. Like, if there was construction going on and they were complaining about it on TripAdvisor and it was temporary and they apologized for it, you know, how they handled that response matters more to me than the bad scenario that may or may not have played out, because those can also be situational. Like, maybe they didn't have breakfast. Maybe they ran out of food because COVID, there was a shortage. Who knows? Like, you never know what's happening, or if one of the workers or employees at the hotel was having a bad day. You just never know.
I always check the dates too. That's something I probably should have mentioned. If there's something really bad, I generally will go, you know, closer to the time, you know, the current time, to see what, you know, what are the reviews saying now compared to, you know, last year when this terrible one was written.
Yeah, I agree. Good one. Thank you, Christy. All right. Number 5, social media has no return. Jeremy, I'm going to sign this one to you.
Oh boy. So that would be a myth. So there's a belief that there isn't necessarily like a gain from social media marketing, and that's misleading to marketers. However, American Express revealed that 48% of respondents do want to travel somewhere they can show off on social media. So social media has an impact, at least on, you know, has some sort of an impact when somebody is like wanting to plan to travel. They may not know where, but they want to go somewhere where they can absolutely post their photos so all their friends and followers can see. So social media can be a powerful marketing tool because it allows for direct engagement with your audience, builds brand loyalty, and can drive traffic, leads, and ultimately revenue. However, this does provide or require a strategic approach and consistent effort. So I think when we think of, you know, getting a return, obviously we're thinking of a sale. And a lot of times, most of the time, I mean, social media isn't really a place where you're going to see a ton of sales, at least in the travel or hotel space. But it is great for other returns, for things like traffic or engagement or leads. So this is where you need to be strategic in your approach. You need to determine your KPIs early on. You need to set those proper expectations about what you're actually looking to achieve when you start a social media campaign, whether it's paid or organic. That's where, you know, those, you're not going to have those letdowns like, oh, we didn't make any money off of this. Well, you may have, because you're trying to go to, or you're focusing on, you know, different types of KPIs like leads, like I mentioned, engagement and things like that, where those could in the long run lead to more revenue.
I think social media is one, people need to stop saying, should I spend money on social media? It's such a huge segment of the marketing mix. The answer is yes. But the question becomes like, okay, what part of social media do you want to invest in? You know, is it paid campaigns? Is it organic campaigns? Is it, you know, building up your engagement levels? Is it, you know, reaching out to guests and getting them to share? There's a million tools that you can use within the bucket of social media that, yes, some of them may not have a return at all right out of the gate. That might take a while. It's kind of like a more of like an SEO strategy. And then other ones, if you do a really well-crafted retargeting campaign on a social media channel, that could have an immediate return. But it really just depends. I think that's too such a blanket statement that it's got to be a myth. And once you break it down, you can find ways to actually make social media really, really effective for your property.
Yeah, and I would venture to say that social media is probably the channel with the most myths surrounding it. Like, social media is just a mythical creature.
Like a chupacabra. Social media is the chupacabra of the hotel industry.
It's constantly changing, and there are so many people that think they understand what they're doing on there. And then we kind of, you know, see a lot of results or lack of results for clients that come in that have been managing it themselves, or maybe have had someone else managing it for them that, you know, just didn't really know the ins and outs of social media.
Because that goes back to number one, that anybody can do it.
Yeah.
That's probably one of the main areas where it's like, oh, I have a nephew who, you know, is a millennial. They can handle it. And then they don't know that they may not have any idea what they're talking about. And then they get penalized for it.
In the now world. We need a Gen Zer. I'm not a TikToker.
No.
We need someone younger than a millennial. We're millennials.
So is Gen Z? No. What's the generation after millennial? Is it Gen Z?
We did a whole
podcast. I thought I was,
is it X? Yes.
See, Pete's operating at 45% here.
I thought I was Gen Z.
You were a boomer.
No.
You're the Mark Twain generation.
I'm the greatest. I'm the silent
generation. I thought it was millennials and then Gen. I might be wrong. I probably should say Gen X. My niece told me that. She's like 8, so I have no idea if it's right.
Gen Z were born between 97 and 2012.
Okay.
We should know this. We're experts.
That's true. I'm Gen X. That's what it is.
Oh,
the best.
Neanderthal. You had a pet chupacabra.
I did have a pet chupacabra.
Oh. All right, let's move on to the next one. Number 6. We're going to pass this one back to you, Christy. We haven't heard your voice. You must be creative. And Christy's creative, so I thought this was a good one to hand off to you.
That's a great one for me. I'm going to say no. That's a myth. You do not have to be creative. I think creativity helps, and that doesn't necessarily mean you have to go, you know, paint all of the portraits that are hanging in your house. That, you know, just having an outside of the box mentality. But analysis, strategy, and execution are equally vital. And many marketers try to get creative before mastering the basics. You need to learn how to walk before you can run, I guess. So use data to drive your digital marketing decisions and monitor the results. considering creativity from a design perspective, consider it, that's going to be more important than considering all of the powerful resources available to digital marketers that can improve efficiency. There are also tools that you can use that'll help you with this. There's AI, of course.
Yay, we said AI again.
And that's going to help you generate images, content. I mean, you can literally tell it, hey, how do I say this? And it's going to spit something right out to you. There's also programs like Canva, and that's an excellent one for a hotelier or anyone that, you know, wants to kickstart their campaign kind of on their own to see how it goes.
Yeah, good stuff. So when I was writing this article, I thought about creativity as two separate entities, as like thinking outside the box and being creative, as far as like, okay, I need to be kitschy with my ad copy. I need to pull people in. I, you know, can't just put up a basic ad and it be successful, which is just not true. I agree with you. Total myth. Master the basics first, measure your return, and then go from there. Then you can kind of explore and be more creative. Maybe it's with starting with brand PPC and then branching out to non-brand PPC and exploring new avenues. But also, like you mentioned, I know what looks good and what doesn't look good, but I can't do it myself, even as a digital marketing expert, you know. So programs like Canva, I'm sure there are others, but I haven't explored all of them. Even like, you know, from a personal level, like Cricut makes it easy for people that aren't necessarily creative to be creative. So taking advantage of those platforms, I think Canva has a free option with paid elements or membership. So if you, you know, feel like you can't make your Facebook ad, lean on other tools instead of spending a large chunk of your budget on a designer. So
here's where I think that you must be creative. I think it's a fact to an extent. So, and here's why. You, as a hotelier, you're going to have a lot of plates spinning, and you're going to have to find ways to get this, everything that in your world that needs to get done, done. Marketing is only a, one of the many plates that you're spinning at any given day. So I think you do have to have some level of creativity, even if it's just from a delegation perspective, you know, being able to say, hey, I need you to do this, find a different way to make your marketing work while you're finding different ways to make your,
well, would you consider that creativity work, or more like delegation and time management?
I think there's an element of creativity to that. I mean, I think if you are so just by the book that you're not taking a second to think about how things could be, not that they are right now, you're going to be missing a lot of opportunity, and your competitors are going to be able to take advantage of that. It's not maybe artistic creativity, but I think maybe operational creativity is what a hotelier needs. And I just want to do that just to play devil's advocate.
It's like creativity from an efficiency standpoint.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree with the concept. I just don't agree that it falls within the category of creativity.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm playing devil's advocate.
I would deem that as resourceful.
Okay.
Or
so you must be resourceful is definitely a true. All right. I'm just playing.
Okay. Number seven. You can keep talking to us, Pete. Marketing is meant for new customers.
Now, okay, so I can't play devil's advocate. This one is a myth. Yes, marketing is a tool that you can use to get new customers, but the reality is once you've gotten those new customers, you better be sure you have a really good marketing strategy to keep them coming back over and over and over again. So the amount of money that it costs to bring somebody in, a lot of that is going to be more of like the colder type marketing where you're trying to find these guests to start with. You're trying to get in front of them. You're trying to kind of break down their barriers. But once you do that, do you have that plan for retention? You know, things like retargeting, remarketing for people who have maybe been to your site, but haven't booked, you know, do you have some type of cookie-based program where you can see if someone visits your website and then leaves and doesn't come back? You know, what can you do to get them back in? Write down through your communication strategies from an email perspective of if someone stayed at your property, you know, X number of months ago, what is your average turnaround time from a guest staying the first time to the second time? Being proactive and sending them communications saying, hey, it's time to come back. Invest your money into doing that. It's going to be your best guest. They already know your property. Hopefully they're going to leave you a good review, and hopefully you've done all the stuff you're supposed to do the first time they were there. Because then getting them to come back to their property, you're just saying, hey, come back to this great experience you've already had one time. So I think that is a myth that marketing is for all your customers.
Yeah, I would reword that too to like, you're working harder, not smarter, if you believe that one. You're working harder to capture new customers constantly when you've already started to build some type of relationship with this existing customer base that you can then nurture and convince to come back through marketing.
Yep.
So if you have all of these new customers, you have a lot more traffic. So Jeremy, does more traffic equal more sales?
It does not. And it depends. And yeah, I mean, more sales as in bookings, and typically not always. And that is going to be defined by the quality of the campaign or content that you're creating or promoting over the quantity. So it's going to be based off of the targeting that you're using, the intent, the search intent of the topics that you're writing about for your website is going to be what's going to drive qualified traffic. And qualified traffic could mean they're ready to actually make a hotel booking, or it could mean that they are going to sign up for your email newsletter or download something on your website. I don't know, like a guide or something like that. If we're talking strictly sales, I mean, if you're having more traffic on your site and you're writing content that isn't really traffic driven, which you should be setting those expectations when you are creating that content or those campaigns, because like I said, it's really going to be dependent on the type of the goals that you're setting for yourself. And you know, if you're going to create a campaign that's more awareness focused, you know, you shouldn't really be expecting more sales, or I guess not awareness focused, but I mean, if you're driving more traffic to your site and you're not going to see more sales, I mean, that could be just an issue that, I mean, the campaign is really set for just driving more traffic to your website, not necessarily getting you more bookings. And it could just be that you're just targeting the wrong audience, so that your targeted traffic is not great. Your content is not personalized. So those are the things to think about in terms of generating traffic and turning that traffic into sales. Yeah.
A lot of times, even now when we're kind of presenting to clients and talking about monthly performance, obviously we're monitoring traffic, we're monitoring visits and visitors and all that kind of stuff, but it's something that we just kind of mention and kind of move past. We're looking at things like conversion rate. We're looking at, you know, time on the site. We're looking at all the things that I think really matter, because if you're not paying attention, you can drive a ton of traffic. All you have to do is, you know, buy the term hotel, and it's going to cost you a whole bunch of money. You're going to drive a ton of traffic, and then none of it's going to book. So it's kind of a waste. I think, you know, traffic's a great metric, particularly when you break it down by channel, but it is definitely not the end all be all type metric that some people think it is.
Yeah. And if your goal is sales, obviously everything that Jeremy said, I think he was pretty on point, but more traffic isn't necessarily always a bad thing, but more traffic that isn't converting is going to dilute your KPIs and make them look worse than they truly may be. I think an example is, you know, if you're trying to increase traffic to a particular blog article or your blog overall, or if you have an event system that you paid for and you want to try to rank for new queries, that, you know, maybe your goal isn't conversion or sale, or even a form. Maybe your goal is traffic and brand awareness. It could, you know, pose you as an authoritative source to search engines. So there are pros and cons with that one, but I think, you know, quality over quantity always. So make sure your marketing's in check.
And we ran into an issue with that very recently with a client where their site conversion rate just sucked. It was like way less than even 1%. And we're trying to dig into it. We saw that their organic social traffic was through the roof. And what was happening is, it is actually a good thing. They were promoting various events and activities at the property. It's very popular property to visit and not necessarily always stay at. So you had a ton of people from social coming from organic social to the website, checking stuff out, getting the information that they need, and then leaving. If we looked at that same site, but we excluded the organic social traffic that was causing the problem, all of a sudden their site had a phenomenal conversion rate. So that's what I'm saying. If you look at it by channel, a lot of times you can really figure out where your holes might be and what you can probably work on improving.
Yeah, and that's where setting that the expectation is with the type of campaign or content that you're promoting. And really, I mean, even if it's not generating a sale, you want to at least find a way to retain that site visitor in some way to keep them in your sphere of your group. And that could be through an email. It could be through some action that they take on your website that you could use within a remarketing or retargeting campaign. It's mostly about setting the expectation of what exactly your goal is. And I mean, if you are generating more traffic to your site and the goal is to get more sales and you're not seeing those sales, and the other, I mean, there's something flawed with the campaign that you're running or the content that you're writing there, where you need to really dig into and find a fix.
Yeah, all good points. So while we're on the topic of revenue, I want to pass it back to Pete. Not all revenue is good.
This is like a negative. Not all revenue is good. I'm going with So I'm going to say fact. That
should we rephrase it? Like,
this is not all revenue is good. So. Yeah. So I would say that, yeah, no, not all revenue is good. There's some revenue that it's nice to have in your back pocket. But the question becomes is how much do you have to pay for that revenue? A good example is when you come across a property and they are 50, 60, 70% OTA occupancy. The question becomes, okay, you've got a ton of revenue that's coming in, but how much is it costing you? Going back to different type of sales where you're driving revenue, but what you may find is that the cost of that revenue is so expensive that from a RevPAR perspective, it may not actually make sense. Is it better to have a slightly lower occupancy rate, but you get to actually keep more of that ADR that comes in for that given property?
Yeah, and you're assuming that you actually get paid from those OTAs. If your partner's booking.com, maybe you're not getting paid.
Ooh, that's a shot across the bow to Booking.
Don't come for me.
Yeah. That's why you're always reading the negative reviews. I think you kind of... You have a bee in your bonnet today. I would say that not all revenue is good revenue.
I agree. And, maybe it's not only OTAs. I think that was a fantastic example for this response. But I do think that to some degree, when people say money's money, sometimes it comes with strings. So consider that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, very true.
All right. I saved the best one for last, and I want to pass it back to our expert, Jeremy. SEO is necessary.
That is absolutely 100% fact.
Are you sure?
I am actually now I'm 99% sure.
Oh, am I making you question it?
No, it's fact. With algorithm updates just all the time, with Google introducing the search generative experience, Microsoft introducing their own generative AI experience, SEO is absolutely necessary, or at least being mindful of SEO and at least doing the best practices or taking into account best practices of SEO and what that entails is it's absolutely something that you should be mindful of and something that you should be incorporating into your digital marketing strategy, because you want people to find you. You want new people to find you. And the way that new people find you is through searches on Google or Microsoft or whatever, and for specific queries. And if they can't find you, they can't discover you. I mean, you know, what good is trying to drive that new traffic to your site? I mean, you're not going to see that new traffic. Maybe your paid advertising is doing really well, but from an organic search perspective, where, you know, like I said, this is SEO is the marathon, but you know, you can absolutely reap rewards if you're, you know, become an expert at it, or are just, you know, do you follow the best practices and are writing good content. And yeah, I mean, SEO is necessary.
Yeah, I agree. And with more than half of website traffic coming from organic, obviously it depends on the client, the property, the location, but I pulled this stat from the internet. With more than half of a website's traffic being generated from organic search, you would think people would put more weight into SEO in 2024. I still feel like it's pretty split, almost black and white. Just meaning, like, I would say more people like don't understand it, or maybe don't feel the need to invest in it compared to paid search. Or I have clients that do see the importance of SEO and invest more in organic optimization than paid search or display or paid social. So I feel like it's pretty split, and I don't often see a lot of clients or groups that are just kind of dipping their toes in. So I think it should be, you know, on the other end, I think you should be investing quite a bit of your marketing budget into organic search, because looking at client revenue reports on a monthly basis, we can see 30 to 50% of revenue being generated from organic search. And if you, you know, decrease your spend in paid search, or if you're not running it at all, that percentage increases, you know, exponentially. And those are typically new customers. Obviously they can be repeat, but yeah, I think it's beneficial to everyone. And it's not specific to the hotel industry. It's to all industries.
Well, SEO is not a game anymore where you're trying to, you know, trick the algorithm to get your site higher. Literally what it is the behavior of past web searches are going to influence the results that show up for future searches. So if Jeremy is looking for a hotel, he finds my property, clicks through, browses it, likes it, reads a bunch of pages, books on it. That's going to help me for when Alyssa is looking for a hotel in that same area, Google or whoever the search engine might be says, oh, wait a minute. The people who have been to this site in the past have really enjoyed it. I gave them quality information. I'm going to serve this site up higher on the results next time. And then luckily Google says, hey, make sure your schema is in place. Make sure you have this. Make sure you have proper title tags and descriptions and all the stuff that kind of goes along with the SEO 101. Those are just signals to Google to tell it where it needs to rank your site. And the consumers are ultimately are the ones who are going to get you to rank higher because you're talking to the right people and they appreciate the data you're providing to them.
Yeah, there are so many facets to SEO strategy. You know, this is definitely one that a lot of people believe, number one, anyone can do it, but you absolutely can't. You just can't. I mean, even myself and Jeremy need to rely on developers pretty frequently to master the art of SEO. So, you know, there's a lot of layers and complexity, and it's not getting any easier, but it is becoming more important.
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing where I don't necessarily agree that they can't do it. They need guidance from somebody who does it every day. You know,
well,
if you're on
the
property,
they're not doing it themselves.
No, I know that, but it's amazing how much that the property actually can do to help their SEO team. You know, if they write an article or they take a photo, getting that to you and understanding that, you know, a picture of a, you know, breakfast buffet that's called named DCFI1234.jpg is not as effective as, you know, breakfast at such and such resort.jpg.
Yeah.
You know, little things like that, that the hotel can actually make the SEO's job easier if everybody's working together.
Yeah. To a degree, I agree. They can take steps on their own, but I don't think they're ever going to cross the finish line without help from a professional.
I agree. And if you're looking for a professional, they should talk to Travel Boom at travelboommarketing.com. I hear there's really good people there that SEO eyes things for hotelers.
What a great verb. I love it.
Yeah, I don't know why you guys don't use SEO eyes
in I'm your gonna start.
Report coming up. You should, absolutely. So,
all right. Well,
hey, I think this was an awesome list.
Yeah.
So these are 10 items, but there's actually 17, you say?
There are 17. And if you guys want to check out the full article, just visit travelboommarketing.com/blog. It's a recent article. It's a pretty long read. It's extremely helpful. That was our list of 10, but there is one final fact that we wanted to leave you guys with today. There are always changes to the ways people research and reserve hotels, and markets must be able to distinguish between truth and illusion.
Boom.
Was that Mark Twain?
Yeah, I think that was definitely Mark Twain. On the Mississippi or something.
Yeah, I think that was in Tom Sawyer.
Yeah, that's right. Ah, this is awesome. Hey, this is a really good article. So if you want the full article, it's going to be linked in the show notes at travelboommarketing.com/podcast on episode 253. That's where you can get the condensed list of 10, or you actually can click through to the full article, which is at Top Hotel Marketing Myths Debunked, which is pretty cool. Kind of as we're wrapping things up, we've made a commitment to be better partners for our hoteliers, and we're doing a ton of research. So we released a 2023 leisure travel trend study last year. We came out with a hidden danger of hidden fees study toward the end of the year. We're wrapping up a study right now for alternate pricing that's going to be hitting the streets in the next couple weeks. And then we also just wrapped up a hotelier sentiment study that's going to be coming out pretty soon as well. So check out travelboommarketing.com in general. We're going to be posting a ton of content there. Follow us on LinkedIn is probably the best way to kind of get the last minute updates. If you're not already signed up for our email newsletter, which you should do, because it's got all kinds of cool factoids in it and links to the information. So with that being said, I think that's it. Does anybody else have anything they want to add about hotel marketing myths or chupacabras or anything?
I did want to add that as far as SEO being necessary, I do think that there's a synergy between SEO and paid services that can be beneficial. If you're taking advantage of SEO and you're doing it the right way, as far as building brand credibility, as far as getting more people to your website and using those as retargeting campaigns for, you know, on social or in paid or display paid search or what have you. So I even landing pages, I mean, if you're targeting a specific keyword in a paid search campaign and you have those keywords on your landing page that you're using because you have that implemented because you're following SEO best practices, then I mean, there's a synergy there that, I mean, if you're taking advantage of this and you're using SEO, that it could be beneficial for other channels as well.
Yep. All marketing channels are not in a vacuum. They all can help each other out. So, you know, think of things holistically for sure. All right. That was a good point to add there.
Yep. That was my last thing to add. I'm not talking anymore.
Oh, no. Hey, if you keep saying stuff like that, you can talk all day, man. All right. So, Christy, how was it? This was kind of your first
time. Tons of fun. Okay. Tons, really? I was a little anxious. I'm sweating a little bit.
You did great. Yeah.
But yeah, no, awesome job. Thanks everybody as well. That's all we got today. So tune in next week or maybe the week after. Typically every 2 weeks we've been recording for more tips and tricks and all kinds of stuff to make you the best hoteler you can be. With that being said, find us at travelboommarketing.com and Travel Boom is out. Or is that just a myth? And we're going to talk on and on and on.